For those who don't know, my name's Dee, and I'm part of the family here. I've written out what I want to say because I tend to ramble and I don't want to talk for too long. So it's a bit of a script. And if I am rambling, you have permission to look at me and just go, back to the script. Get back to the script. So if I see you all go, it's like, yeah, that. I need a few of you, not just one, because I feel like you're picking on me. It needs to be a mob. And I'll get back on the script. Otherwise, we'll go anywhere. So I've been asked to share about what happened a few weeks ago, and me standing up here is part of that. Well, that's what it's all about, regarding a healing that I received. Usually that would be a seat for me to sit down and speak from. I'm like, when Lowell and Hardy have finished, you're right. Oh, bless you guys. Thank you. I was really excited when I was asked to share what happened a couple of weeks ago. But as the time has drawn closer, especially like 4 a.m. this morning, fear and worry crept in and it took a bigger part of my heart than it has a right to. I feared you guys. I feared the ones who have bigger battles, more serious challenges. I feared those of you who are waiting patiently and diligently and faithfully for a full release of your own healings. I feared sounding like one of those faith healers that I'd sneered at and snarled about and then been called to repent and not to judge. I feared not stewarding the healing story well. And most of all, if I'm perfectly honest and really vulnerable, I feared losing the healing after sharing the story. And everyone saying the old, oh, she didn't have enough faith. Or she made it up. Or she's a bit of a drama queen. So fear of man, fear of loss, fear of whatever will always try and hold us back from asking and will hold us back from receiving. So I stand here today and confess that I did agree with fear, but I send it back to where it came from. I'm not afraid and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. And as a child of God, I stand before you, my brothers and sisters in family, not in judgment, and share my story in hope and encouragement. And I compel you to keep asking, to ask and keep asking, to seek and keep seeking, to wait actively and to keep coming back for the more from your Abba Father, because you're a child of God and you're not a slave to fear. And you're not a slave to the injury or the pain or the disease or the heart that needs healing or the mind that needs healing. So I'm going to talk about healing. So I've learned a few things about healing, but I'm no expert. And I want to encourage you in your healing journey and in seeking and keeping on seeking, let's get rid of the tears, to write down, to speak out, to record and to tell the stories of where he has met you and where you're waiting for him to meet you. We're in a season of fruitfulness at YVV. We're in a season of fruitfulness in the vineyard in Australia. And I believe my story is a first fruit story. And I hope for more and pray for more stories. And I've asked Cherie to come and share some story later on for what's happened for her. So I hold hope and I hope that this encourages you. Well, I know others of you may be angry or hurt because your story is still being written. I want to say to you that I don't know why. So why is a question I've had to let go of. His ways are not mine. And although that sounds cliche, it is the absolute and total truth. And I know you know that. We can't sing the stuff we've sung and had the worship that we've just had and be still here after a rough few years if we didn't. I have no special insight into the mystery of our Maker, but I do know this. I know he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. I know that he is faithful. Oh, so faithful. And I know that he knows you better than you know yourself. And I know that he is within us, with us, and will bring things through us. I also know that heaven is where God lives, and he lives inside each one of us. So how do we hold faithfully? How do we hold on to his garment? How do we hold the tension between the now and the not yet? I offer you his character. I offer you his love, and I offer you his promises, and I offer you a little bit of my story. And I want to encourage you to keep pressing in to God and to keep asking him for the more, for the complete work. I'm deeply convinced that there is lots of fruit from this tree for the YVV and the wider community. Let's pray. Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, you know you're welcome. Come in your power. Help us shift into expectation, shift into hope and faith, and shift into an enduring asking and keep on asking, pursuing you. Shift our posture so that we can hold the wise under, not above, your name, your authority, your blood, your declaration, and your love. Lord, be magnified, that everything will bow to you. And speak your life over our bodies, our hearts, our minds, our friends, our community, our region. It starts here. Thank you, Lord. So, I was a thalidomide baby. And thalidomide was a sedative or hypnotic drug that helped with nausea. And so they gave it in the 50s and the 60s, they gave it to pregnant women to help with morning sickness. Shortly after the drug was released, between 5,000 and 7,000 infants were born with a malformation of their limbs. Only 40% of these children survived. Throughout the world, about 100,000 cases were reported in infants with the malformation of limbs, and only 50% of those survived. Those subjected to thalidomide while in the womb experienced limb deficiencies, and that their long limbs didn't grow, so they had stumps. Other effects included deformed eyes, deformed eyes and hearts, urinary tracts, blindness and deafness. So I'm thankful to be here, and I'm thankful to have legs. In 1979, when the world was in black and white, and you were, dinosaurs roamed the earth, I was living in Adelaide doing my first stint at Bible College. I'm going to tell you three things, and you'll understand why they're related to what happened a couple of weeks ago. So we're going back to 1979. I was in Adelaide in Bible College, and I had a great pastoral care person who encouraged me to have Jesus dreams. That's what she called them. And it's spending 15 minutes a day imagining me and Jesus hanging out. It started in my imagination. But it became a spiritual dialogue, a conversation with God. And it was how I first started to hear him, love him, and experience his love for me. It was in one of our hangout times that he showed me visions of people. That he called me into the arts. And it was in 1979 that he said, in the year 2000, I want you to take a musical production to the 2000 Olympic Games. It was in one of those Jesus Dream 15-minute things in Adelaide. 1979 to 2000 It was a long time. But I had to go to school and I had to learn things and I had to become an actor and then a director and I had to do all this sort of life vision. Yeah, I got you too. But in that long-term vision, so he spoke words over my life at that time. He showed me visions of people and told me their stories so I would recognise them when I met them later. And it was one of these hangout times that he said, and I've written it down, your folks on earth called you Mardi, M-A-R-D-E-E, that's where we get D from, but I call you Naphtali. Naphtali was one of the tribes of Israel, and his name means a deer roaming freely, and he shoots forth majestic branches, and the majestic antlers and the meaning of the prophecy seems to suggest that the tribe of Naphtali would be located in a territory so fertile and peaceable, and that for eating on these rich pastures that he would spread out like the deer, like the antlers of a deer. The antlers are a symbol of words and life. So Naphtali means a deer set free to bear beautiful words. A couple of years before that, I had an accident on a horse. I was riding rodeo, barrel racing, and I was teaching horse riding down at Red Hill. You were laughing. You didn't know I was a rodeo rider? Yeah, I used to rope goats. Yep. I had a quarter horse. She'd spin on a 5-cent piece. She was amazing. Yep. So I was a rider. So I used to ride rodeo for competition, and I used to teach riding. And I took a trail ride out, and I was on a 7-8, for those that know horses, yay, I was on a 17-hand Appaloosa gelding, and one of the horses in the trail ride bolted, and I was on a western saddle, which is at the big stirrups. I had to go, because I was the leader, I had to go after the horse that bolted, because the girl's flailing her arms around everywhere and flicking her legs out, and the horse isn't going to stop anytime soon. So I took my horse and ran after them. My horse stumbled, and I've broken my collarbone 3 or 4 times. Like, I've broken my nose 3 times, I've broken my jaw, I've broken my... Like, every bone in my body except for my hips have been broken. But when he stumbled, I thought, oh, I've got to tuck and roll because I'm going to fall. So you tuck and you roll. As I tucked and rolled, I went off, but my foot got caught in the stirrup and the horse is in a full gallop. And I'm... So I broke my skull, broke 2 vertebrae, broke my thigh, my calf, broke the knee, pulled the knee out of the socket, shattered the kneecap, and was airlifted to hospital. A couple of weeks ago, he healed it. I'll tell you about that in a minute. So since 1977, I've had problems with my spine and my leg, my foot, and my head. If you do x-rays of my spine, they injected in the 70s, they injected mistletoe. It was a practice it's a parasite that lives on trees. They would inject that into my spine every month. So my spine's got like a normal spine, and it's got these big blobs of white stuff on the 2 vertebrae that were broken. It's funny looking, look like what, Quasimodo. I was just thinking the Hunchback. But no, I'm good. So I'm still grateful to be walking and to be moving. I was in a wheelchair for a while, for about 9 months, and slow healing. I've been for prayer more times than I've had hot meals. And I've asked and kept on asking, sought and kept on seeking, and knocked and kept on knocking. I've given up. I've made friends with it. I've super spiritualized it. I've given perspective to it, and I've settled that it was my own fault. I don't deserve, I should have been smarter, I should have done, shoulda. The consequence of the limping and the brokenness in this leg has made the other leg tear calf muscles, stretch and rip ligaments, shredded tendons and done damage. So it's been like that. So that's the story. So it's not just she came in on crutches and she got a leg fixed and she's better. It's a bit bigger, and that's what I want to go into, the bigness of God, the wholeness, the holiness and the wholeness of God. We bought our first home, okay, Space Jump 1994, bought our first home, and we felt to call it Kadesh, meaning a place of refuge, and it was for many people. We kept the name Kadesh wherever we moved to and wherever we shifted. We had a little thing made up with Kadesh on it, and we kept that. And over the last 3 years, we've not had the sign up on our home. And we felt we were in a different season and we were pursuing Celtic names. So we thought our season of being a place of refuge for people was coming to an end. On the 17th of the 3rd, 2019, Space Jump, 20, 30 years or whatever, you do the math, something happened. If you've been hanging around after church, you would have heard some loud sobbing. Anyone hear me carry on like a pork chop? Yes, some of you, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I walked from there over to there, saw Steve and just went... I could spiritualize and say it was some sort of tongues, but it wasn't. It was just relief and thankfulness and gut-wrenching. Still very fresh. So I'd hurt my leg again and I was on crutches a couple of weeks ago. Got a healing and I'll talk about that in a minute. But 2 days after, on the Wednesday, I was back on crutches because the Achilles had gone spastic and flared up and I was back. Got the healing, walked out of here, was off crutches, went back straight into the pool on Monday morning going, yeah, I can exercise again. And then on the Wednesday, I'm down again. I was facing surgery and I was unable to move. This came on top, quickly on top of, and this may speak to someone I don't know, of having a business partnership dissolve the week earlier. I was feeling inadequate, invisible, rejected and redundant. I was in shock and I had no idea what was coming when my partner dissolved the partnership. Anyway, I was feeling low and a bit useless and now I was in bed crippled again and feeling like I'd reached my use-by date. It's nothing like a bit of self-pity to keep us there. But I started worshipping. This is the Saturday before I came for the prayer. And I thought, if I can build up my spirit, then my spirit can stand and I can bring my mind and my body into submission to my spirit, not my mind be in submission to my body. So I started worshipping, focusing on being grateful for the beauty and the good things. And there were many good things. Two of them are there in my life. I started worshipping and dissolved into tears of both thankfulness and despair. You know that place where you feel like your heart's a breaking point and then you also feel guilty because you're not that bad off and you shouldn't be feeling bad? I had lots of things to be thankful for, so I started being thankful. My family is small but huge and extended family, friends that are family, family. We have enough. We have a church community to give with and to be with. And we have a good marriage and a daughter we're thankful for and proud of. So that's where I started giving thanks. We have our health. And we have a home. I'm just being selfish if I ask for more. You ever heard that one in your own conversation? So I wanted to be free from pain and be able to walk unaided. I wanted to get back in the pool and exercise. I wanted to be able to stand and walk around. I want to be able to do the thing that God's put in my heart to do. The things. I'm not finished. The things. But I was scared I was back in a wheelchair or permanently on crutches or something. I want to be able to stand and walk around without my knee collapsing, shooting pain up and down my spine to my foot. I wanted to feel that God was present with me in both the pain and in the restoration. So I found that I started bargaining with him. What the? Like, D, you know this stuff. And then I recalled where he had met me in the past. You know, when Israel crosses the Jordan, it says, they take the stones and they build monuments for generations to come to say, this is where God met us. It's like, okay, what are my stones? Where's my, let's cross over. Where have you met me in the past? So I'm speaking out loud. I have six fillings in my mouth they don't know what is in them. I was in a service and I didn't go forward. I didn't get prayed for. And I was with a guy that I probably shouldn't have been with and really needed to break up with and was scared to break up with him. But I was really, 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 really paranoid, scared of dentists as well. So and there was a healing service and I'm sitting in the crowd. Well, I'm not going to go forward for healing. I should overcome my fear. I don't just ask for teeth. And I said, Lord, if it's not going to spoil any vast eternal plan and if I don't have to be brave this time, can you just fill my teeth? And then my mouth got dusty and dry and I got metallic sort of, you know, that post-dentist the rinse thing. I got that and I went out and I had to have six fillings. I'd been to the dental hospital. I was a student at uni, been to the dental hospital. And I went back to the dental hospital after it. I'm like, I think they're filling. And they took a scraping because they didn't believe me. And then they took the scraping off to the specialist from the dental hospital and they said, we don't know what the substance is. And I've got six fillings in my mouth and no one knows what they are. He met me there. I was in another healing service. I have 40 warts on the foot that was damaged, the leg and the foot was damaged. I have 40 warts on that foot. I was walking out the front at Dallas Brooks Hall. Remember when we used to have rallies at Dallas Brooks Hall and Jim Spillman and all those guys came out? Cowboy Neil. Sounds like a wrestler, doesn't it? And I'm walking out with this. I had one shoe was one size bigger than the other shoe because of the warts. And I'm walking out. I got to the stage and they said, you know, little girl, young girl. And they picked up the shoe and the warts fell out. And my shoe didn't fit. I had to bump, I need new shoes. Why? I got no warts. Yeah, him. So he met a kid with warts. He met a teenager with teeth. My mum had a brain tumour and was given 5 years to live if she had surgery, 5 months to live if she didn't. As a family, we went to prayer and fast for 40 days. And my dad was a builder. My brother was a bikie. So it was hard for them to be fasting for 40 days and keep working. We fasted and mum's brain tumour disappeared. God met her in that. Yeah. I had to call to remembrance where you have met me. And I had to call to remembrance where you have met me in physical stuff because I was asking for physical stuff. And I had to write down, I learned from the Jesus dreaming back in 79 to write it all down. I knew about Steve, prayed him into the kingdom, prayed him out of an engagement 4 years before I ever met him. I had the little book that said he was here, here, pray for this, for that, but. Then I met him and it was like, so where were you on the night of the fifth son? So what happened to you? Oh, Lord, he measures up. Now I'll panic. Okay, he wasn't even a Christian when I started praying for him. So write it down. There's power in that. Hold it. May not be power in it straight away, but there's power in it later. The story. We live in his story. We live in history and we have a story. Some of us have, you know, we let our journey become our destination. We let our journey become our destination. Don't do it. Write it out. This is that chapter. This is a moment. There will be a turning of the page. There are equally times, and the reality is there are equally times where we didn't see healings. We had 9 family members die of diseases in 2 years. That's why we have a small family. My father's illness, his death, and he died blind because God never, ever healed his eyes. Why? He wasn't any less spiritual, any more spiritual. I don't understand the mystery of God. And what I would say to you is let go of the why. Call to remembrance where he has met you. And if you don't have those stories, find someone, find me. And you can borrow mine for a while until you start to bank up your own. Okay? There's people here. I'm going to get some up in a minute to tell their story. I recalled where I had to wait for how I am known in heaven, which is the truth, Naphtali, to become my lived reality. I had to wait for the truth of how I am known in heaven to become my lived reality. The truth doesn't change because of our reality, but when our reality, when we align with how we're known in heaven, our reality changes to the truth. There's a shift. So I recall when I had to, I called up when I had to wait for how I'm known in heaven, the truth, to become my lived reality. One of those stories and waiting for a healing was I had a hernia after Senny. After birthing us, and we all get them, or some of us get them. And I had 20 centimetres of bowel outside the muscle wall. And I walked around for 18 months. No obstruction, no twist, no pain. 18 months until they could get me the surgery and I could get it stitched up and I'm fine. So that was a waiting one, and that was a faith walk, and that 18 months became a spiritual discipline. 10 years ago, we discovered that because this was all had the spine and the leg and everything was in such a mess, no one thought about brain trauma. And so what had happened in the brain trauma back in that horse accident was that I had, like, I broke my skull, and they all just went, it'll get better. And it did, but what they found out 10 years ago was that, doctors all know this better than me, but your metabolism and your thermostat in your body are right next to each other, in your brain, and that was the part that was hit and broken, and what had happened was my metabolism shut down and my thermostat went through the roof. So even now I'm still asleep under a sheet, that's it, over Melbourne winters. Don't need it. I'm dripping in sweat, got bare feet. My thermostat's up high. Because I burn high in my thermostat, my metabolism is down even lower. And it was only 10 years ago that they said, you've got a brain trauma that has got an injury. Now I'm seeking the Lord and healing in that, and I'm walking that out, and I'm doing what I can with that. But when you think that people are fat, are hot because they're fat, it's actually they're fat because they're hot. I'm hot. So it's because of this thing with the metabolism. It's a weird thing. Talk to me later if you want to. But it was another time where I've got to walk. So some of you will have walking with a healing or walking with something. Don't stop asking. Don't stop pressing in. Don't give up. So the types of healings. There are healings that are slow and developmental, like my thermostat metabolism argument. There are healings that are given through medical intervention, like a hernia. There are healings of the soul that are concurrent with healings in the body. A pain has got to carry somewhere, and often it will manifest in our body when it's really in our heart. Healings are immediate, and there are some healings that are immediate, miraculous. So never stop asking. And wait. And waiting isn't passive. How do I wait? Don't blame yourself. Don't let the accuser say you're not faithful enough, or you're not good enough, or you're not spiritual enough, or you're not enough. And don't let him tell you that God isn't enough. He is more than enough. What we're waiting for is the alignment of the truth of who we are in heaven to penetrate our reality. And while we wait for that, sometimes we have to let go of things. Sometimes we have to shift our mindsets. And other times we just have to be faithful and learn the lessons in the waiting. Sometimes we just praise and worship as if, and it will break through. Like, keep asking, keep pressing in, keep believing, and learn how to hold the now and the not yet. The now and the not yet. You know, in life we pursue balance. We want to balance. But if you think about it, balance is stagnant. It's still. If you're balanced, you don't move. The art is to shift your center of balance and then shift it again and then shift it again. And that's called movement and momentum. If you just want to balance, you're like this. You need to shift it in order to move. So don't seek balance. Seek momentum. Seek movement. Look at me, I can stand on it. I've been doing lots of tricky little things. It's a big deal. You can clap that. All right. What else do I want to say? Oh, so I came on the... I rang Rob the day before on the 17th of March. I rang him on the 16th and said... because I was supposed to be at an elders meeting and I couldn't get up the stairs. And I said to him, all I know is go and ask for anointing with oil again. I said, all I know is to ask for anointing with oil to the elders. And I'm an elder, so I've got to find some other elders to anoint. And he said, I haven't got any oil. And I said, that's okay, I've got some, I'll bring it. It's here for today, for you. And I came and couldn't stand, and you saw me do the silly little waddle over behind Di and sit here and wait for Lola and Rob, and they were busy. Anyway, they came and prayed, and Lola broke some stuff off me from the failure with the dissolving of the partnership and me feeling worthless and hurt. She said, we'll do that first, and then Rob just proclaimed the name of Jesus, name of Jesus. Then they opened the oil and they anointed me. And then Joe and Senny came over. They're funny girls. They came over and I'm just sitting there going, Lord, I hope. Didn't feel anything. Just hope and reassurance and a bit of relief with the emotional healing that Lola gave, prayed into. And I said, well, okay, we better go. I'm like... and I thought, I can go out on my crutch. Like, I can do that. And so I didn't hear this, but later on I found out that Sienna leaned over to Joe, I think this is right, and said, if she doesn't put the crutch down, she's not going to get the healing. Joe said, if she doesn't put the crutch down, she's not going to get the healing. She has to walk it. Now, I didn't know that. I didn't hear that, but I knew that. So I'm like, Sen, come here, like in a security blanket, come here. And she goes, don't lean on me. And I'm like, I birthed you, girl. You know, like, you can pay up. Come here. And she's like, no, don't lean on me. You've got to do this. This is you and God. And I'm like, oh, I taught you too well. So I'm like, okay. Jesus. And I'm just like, Jesus. 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 Nah, Jesus. Jesus? Oh, shivers. Jesus? Sam, look, Steve, where are you? Jesus. Oh my God, I'm walking here. Oh, sobbed. And the sobbing was not just the knee and the leg and the spine. The sobbing was holding from 1979. To the 17th of March 2019. He is freaking faithful. I don't know what time it is. He is faithful, guys. Cherie, come, because I'm going to cry. Lord, I love you. Can you tell your story?
What about the hands? Yeah. I have a 30-year journey. It's funny with the nines, because mine started in 1989. And I really struggle with this whole healing thing, having I've actually got three diseases that I have carried for a very long time, and I've been asking God to do some things about those things, and he's healed me of one of those. But I really struggle, and probably the time in church that I hate the most is when it comes to the prayer at the end and words of knowledge and if you want healing, come forward, because I'm really tired of being disappointed. It's really hard, and all of those things that Di talks about, just the disappointment. And I used to think, if God really loved me, he would heal me. And I was just looking for that evidence all the time. I'd bargain with God. I'd say, I'll do this if you do that. And I've probably spent 30 years of my life seeking the healing more than the healer. And God has really, in the last probably 18 months, flipped that on its head. And instead of asking the why, I'm asking the what. I'm asking the why not me? What do you want to do with me in this space? So the same day that Dee had her miracle, Adam stood up and he had a word of knowledge that someone who's got pain in their hands, that God wanted to do something about that. Now, one of the complications of, I'm a type 1 diabetic, and one of the complications of that is issues with tendons in your hands and your feet. And I've, the past probably 2 years, I've really been suffering with pain in my hands, and the tendons are actually contracting and pulling my fingers into a fist, and it's painful all the time. It makes doing things like typing, sewing, cooking, opening jars, things that I was able to do with my hands, I can't. And there's nothing they can do about it. Surgery will fix it, but it's temporary. So anyway, Adam got this word of knowledge, and on this particular day, I was in quite a lot of pain. Come the end of the day, I've got ice on my hands, or I'm using sometimes heat to fix the pain, just take the pain away. Anyway, the minute Adam prayed, I could just feel like tingling in my hands, and I felt like a stretching. And normally you could actually see the tendon bulging out of the hand because it's quite obvious, but I can put my hand down flat on a table, which is a miracle, and I don't have the pain anymore. I can still feel the tendon just a little bit tight, but on that day God did something, so praise him.
Stay there. Okay. Trav, good. You're my man. I'm going to anoint Cherie's hands. Joe, can you come and hold the microphone? It's not a magic potion, guys. It's just living out scripture. Scripture says to anoint with oil, so that's what I'm doing. Cool. And we're doing it for the completion of what's already started. We're doing it for the completion. So Lord, you know your daughter and you love her. You love her. So Father, in the name of Jesus, what I've received, I give. Lord, for my abundance and your abundance through me, I give to these hands. I give to Cherie and I anoint her in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I anoint these hands and I pray full recovery, full release. Absolute and total. Lord, that her story, this part of her story, is done. And that her hands will flex and grasp and hold and touch and tenderly stroke everything that needs. Lord, extend those tendons in the name of Jesus. Restore where the disappointment has been to. And Lord, from what I've received, just give Lord, I just pray for fullness of release in her heart. We know what it is to struggle and to hold our reality and your truth in tension. We also know and remind ourselves of where you have met us. And we continue faithfully to say, more, Lord, more, Lord, more, more. Everything you've got for us. Now the pressure is now for me to put the microphone in Cherie's face and say, so how's it feeling? And for her to save face and go, oh, yeah, it's a bit better. A bit better. Hey, you can sit down. Yeah, you can sit down. I put her on the spot. That wasn't stage. That was really gutsy. But anything? Can you let us know? Because I'm hoping that you're preaching in a few weeks' time, that this is a full victory and that you're telling your story. So that's what I'm praying. And I'll be praying that until you get your voice to tell your story, because it will be a full manifestation of what's already established. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to invite you, you know, it's not magic oil or anything like that. It's just applying the principles of what God says. If you're sick, go to the elders and get anointed with oil. Not because the elders are magic, or, you know, but, and you just keep, it says knock and keep on knocking, seek and keep on seeking, walk and keep on walking, ask and keep on asking. So press in. And if disappointment or fear, I started the morning saying about fear, if they're your battles, then come and get those addressed first. Face into the disappointment and say, no, you don't have power over me. I'm no longer a slave to disappointment. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to whatever your battle is. I am a child of God. I don't and I won't live under the lie. Because remember, balance is a shifting of weight. We walk. And I can now, for the first time since 1979. So what I've got, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give to you.